such an honor, a privilege to introduce our special speaker for the evening, all the way from North Carolina to La Crosse. They've had quite a trip. They live in La Crosse, but I'll let him tell them if he wants to share with you their trip. They made it. They're here. We weren't so sure last night, but so glad to have Brother Parker and Sister Parker here. And it's such an honor to be able to have them preach, have him preach to us tonight. A good friend, Brother Rufus Parker. Come on, brother. Love you, man.
Thank you. Well, let's everybody praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest. He's worthy of all our praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. Amen. And, you know, the scriptures tell us to, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, people will say to me sometimes, well, Brother Parker, you can't mean that in every circumstance and every situation, I'm supposed to give thanks. Oh, yeah. The scripture is trying to get us to see is we should never lose our love for giving thanks. We should never forget what God has done for us on Calvary, and we should never stop giving him thanks for all that he has done. If you can't think of anything to thank God for, the psalmist says, well, let me help you out. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy, and do it forever. So knowing that the scripture also tells us that it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I think when we wake up, we should be ready to give God thanks. We should be ready to give him the praise and the glory and the honor to his name. Amen. We are serving an awesome God. So when you sit down tomorrow together to fellowship, don't forget to give God thanks. Don't forget to give him all the glory, honor, and praise as well. It is so good to be in Madison. As Pastor Roy was saying, we didn't know we were going to make it. We got kind of sidetracked with the weather coming on to the East Coast. We were out in North Carolina doing the revival in the Methodist church that I grew up in as a kid. And so we had some delays in our flights due to the weather pattern on the East Coast. And so we had to spend the night in Detroit, and then we had to catch a flight this morning about 7:55 to Minneapolis, then back into La Crosse about 12 o'clock, and jump out of those clothes and jump in some new clothes and head to Madison. So thank God we made it. Amen. So I got a lot to be thankful for. And God was so good that in all of that delay, he says, you're my kid, so I'm going to just bump you up a little bit. So from Atlanta to Detroit, we got to fly first class. And from Detroit to Minneapolis, we got to fly first class. So God was just showing out a little bit there for me. Amen. So it's good to be here. Brother Grant, thank you so much, sir. Really love and appreciate you and your dear wife and Pastor Roy and all the ministers and all you saints of the Most High God. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of passages of scriptures and then you can be seated. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 14 through verse 17. You've probably heard these scriptures many times before. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, everybody says all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And I want to minister to you this thought tonight, a failure to follow instructions. A failure to follow instructions. Father, again, we exalt you, Lord. We thank you again tonight, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, your truth, your blessings that we feel here tonight, Lord. We thank you for your people, God. We thank you for the assurance of your word, because you say we're two or three are gathered together in your name. There you are in the mix of us, Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, we pray that you will stay with us, God, and let us not leave the way we came, God, but let us leave changed and refreshed and renewed in the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor and all the praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. A failure to follow instructions. Amen. A lot of times when we buy things, these items comes with instructions in the box, but because we feel by just looking at the picture that we have the talents and the abilities to just put the thing together without following the instructions. And so we go about our business of getting a screwdriver and we get a hammer and we began to tinkle with these things and we began to put it together. And then when it's all together, we look on the floor and there are screws and there are other pieces and the legs are not in the right places and the drawers don't slide the way they're supposed to. And then we say, that is nothing but a piece of junk. Anybody do that other than me? Well, really, it is not a piece of junk. We just didn't follow the instructions that was given, because the manufacturer knows that if we would follow the instructions, we will put it together right. It would look like the picture that's on the box, and we would be content and we would be satisfied with the item. And when someone comes to our house and they begin to say to us, "Oh, that's a nice item. Where did you get that from?" And we will begin to tell them where we got that item from. Amen. And we will feel good about the item, because now someone else wants the item. And this is what the company and the manufacturers want, is they want you to use the instructions so that others would run out and buy it as well. Well, God is no different. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, instructions, and righteousness, that the man and woman of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works. You see, God wants you to follow the instructions. See, because if you follow the instructions, then your life is going to turn out the way that he wanted to turn out. Your life is going to be a life that want to be emulated by someone else. And when people see you, they're going to come to you and they're going to begin to ask you, what is this about your life that is different than others? And how can I get my life in this direction and in the right way as well? Amen. This is why God wants us to follow the instructions. The Bible says you give instructions to a just man and he'll be more just. Amen. If you teach him, he will increase in learning. Amen. We have to learn to follow the instructions. Marriages are falling apart because people won't follow the instructions. This book has all the instructions on how to have a perfect marriage and for that marriage to work out the way God wants it to work out. Amen. But you have to follow the instructions. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when you buy a car or purchase a car, most people never look in the glove box when they hand them this little case that, with all those books in it. Well, those books are your instruction manual. You're driving down the road and a little light comes on and you have no idea what the light is. And so you take it to the dealer and he charges you $200 or $300 to replace a fuse when you could have just looked in the instructions and fixed it yourself. Stay with me. Amen. Hallelujah. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instructions, amen, in righteousness and corrections, that the man and woman of God will be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, amen. In other words, whatever you're trying to accomplish, whatever you're trying to do, God wants you to follow the word of God, amen, so that everything you do would be fulfilled in your life. Are you with me? Praise God. Amen. So when we begin to look at God's word, when we begin to follow the instructions of the scriptures, the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure and light in the eye. The fear of the Lord are clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey. Than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them are your servants warned, and in keeping of them are a great reward. So when we begin to follow the word of God, you see the law was designed to bring us to Christ. Amen. And once we begin to follow the laws of the Lord, amen, and begin to do what God is asking of us to do, we will begin to follow the instructions that he's given us. And as a result, our lives are going to be the way God desires it to be turned out for. Hallelujah. All scripture. Say all scripture. So that means if you follow the scriptures, you're going to be okay. Moses told the children of Israel, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do you really love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or is there something in between you and him? If there's something in between you and him that's closer to him than you are. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you must love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you talk of him when you rise up. You talk about him when you're in the way. You talk about him when you lie down. You talk about him when you get up. You put it as frontlets before your eyes and on your hands, amen, and put it on your doorposts and your gateposts. And Moses began to tell the children of Israel, and he says, and when you come into the land that the God swore to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them a goodly city, amen, to give them houses which they did not build, and wells dug that they did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which they did not plant. He says, be careful that you do not forget God, amen. So if we follow the instructions, that we never forget God, but we keep God first and foremost, and the things that we do, everything is going to be all right for us. Because as long as God stays first in our lives, we will be continue to rejoice. We will continue to praise. We will continue to magnify. We will continue to glorify. We will continue to run to the house of God. Amen. As the psalmist said, I'll be glad when they say to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We've got to follow the instructions. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Do you ever feel like God isn't there? Do you ever feel like, God, where are you? He's as close as the mention of his name. Did you know that the scriptures tell you that God has given you a garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planet of the Lord, that he might be glorified? So when you're going through things in your life, all you got to do is follow the instructions. What happened to that old song? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. What happened to the song? By and by, when the morning comes, and all the saints of God is gathering home. When you sing praise to God, you lift the burdens. Amen. He's giving you a garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness. Amen. This is your instructions. Amen. When you're burdened down, God says, lift up holy hands and begin to praise me. Begin to magnify me. Don't hang your harps on the willow. Don't stop worshiping God when you're going through something. That's the time to start praising. That's the time to start magnifying. That's the time to start exalting God. Peter says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. He says, but rejoice in you becoming a partaker of Christ's suffering. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, because the spirit and glory of God rest upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. So Peter says, when things comes against you, don't just set there, begin to rejoice, amen, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, amen. You get power when you magnify God. You get power when you exalt God. You get power when you lift up the name of Jesus. But most of us say, oh, the devil is out my tracks. So we want to praise God, the devil, instead of magnifying God. We've got to follow the instructions. Amen. I don't know, when I was a kid back in the 50s when the Wizard of Oz came out, and the first time I saw it, amen, I was a little afraid. But as I got old, I began to pick up some things from that movie that I can begin to use for the kingdom of God. The first thing Dorothy is told is to get in the yellow brick road and to stay in the yellow brick road if she wants to get to the place that she needs to get to. But she fails to follow the instructions, and every time she gets out of the yellow brick road, she runs into trouble. How many of you, every time you get outside of the Word of God, you run into trouble? Every time you get outside of the Word of God, you're going to run into trouble. This is why it's instructions. You've got to stay in the yellow brick road. You've got to stay in the basic instructions, because the Bible is the basic instructions before you leave this earth. Amen. It is your life book. It is the pattern that God has ordained for you and me to follow, to stay in the right path. Amen. The Lord said in Jeremiah 6:16, stand ye and ask, where's the good way? Where's the old path? And get in it and walk therein. Amen. You've got to get in this thing. You've got to get into the Word of God. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. The entrance to your word, give it life. This is my comfort and my affliction. Thy word quickeneth me. When I'm going through things in my life, the Word of God that I've hidden in my heart, the Word of God that is set before me, if I go to it, as I begin to digest it, as I begin to apply it to my heart, amen, I am renewed and refreshed over and over again, because the Word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividers of under of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner and the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Are you following the instructions? You've got to follow the instructions. So Dorothy is told, stay in the yellow brick road. But every time she gets outside of the yellow brick road, she runs into trouble. And then all of a sudden, somebody's got to come along and get her back in the right pathway. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and is a light
unto my path. Amen. God's word will enlighten me. He will show me the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. So if we're going to make it to the other side, we've got to get in the yellow brick road, and we've got to get into the word of God, and we've got to move forward day by day by day. Amen. Paul says, brethren, I count myself not to apprehend, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The first person Dorothy comes upon is a scarecrow. He's out in the field, and the crows are sitting on his shoulder. He's supposed to be scaring away the crows. You see, you and I are supposed to be scaring away the enemy of our soul. The devil should not even be coming close to you if you've got the Holy Ghost. If you've got the power of God in you, your light is supposed to be burning so bright that he stays away from you. James says, you believe there's one God? He says, the devils also believe, and he trembles. Amen. You have got to understand that God has called you to be a light of the world. Amen. You're a city that sit on a hill that cannot be hidden. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be salted again? You change your environments and the things around you. Things don't change you. You change it. Your circumstance don't control you. You control it. Your situation doesn't control you. You control it. Follow the instructions. Praise God. Oh, but Brother Parker, you just don't understand. Oh, yes, I do. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but with the temptation, he will make a way of escape. Amen. But here's this scarecrow. He's out in the field, and what is his problem? He doesn't have a brain. In other words, he can't think for himself. You ever run into people that can't think for themselves? It's because they're not following the instructions. Because this book says, I will give you a new heart and a new mind, that you will know me. Amen. You will know the voice of God. God says, my sheep know my voice and is known of me. Amen. God will give you the directions. He will give you the instruction. He will give you a new mind. I don't care what the world says about you. I don't care what people have said about you that maybe says that they knocked you down or talk bad about you. But when God comes into your life, amen, he will give you a new mind. He will give you a new ability to think and to reason right. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You start following the instructions, and see, don't your mind becomes new. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you, or I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, start thinking different, amen. No matter what has happened, no matter what people have said, you think different, amen. You begin to think, I am a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my vein. He who was wretched and blind now can sing, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Think about it. Paul says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any
virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate day and night. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the ways of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scoff. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Everything that you put your hand to, it will be successful for you. You will prosper, amen, if you allow the word of God to become a part of your life. Follow the instructions. The next person she encounters is the tin man. What's his problem? He doesn't have a heart. And because he doesn't have a heart, he can't love. He don't know how to love. He can't love God. He can't love his neighbor. He cannot feel fulfilled the greatest commandments, which is love, because his heart is hardened. If you notice, he can't even move. He's got the oil right there with him. But because he doesn't have a heart, he doesn't know how to take the can and squirt it on him to get his joints to moving again. You see, when you don't know how to love correctly, you can have all the Holy Ghost you want. But if you don't know how to squirt it and get it flowing in your life, this is what Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's inside of you. He says, God did not give you the spirit of fear. He gave you power. He gave you love. And he gave you a sound mind. Amen. So all you've got to do is stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost is in you. And your limbs would get to moving again. And the love of God will begin to flow through your life again. If you're not loving people, amen, if you're not loving God, your Holy Ghost needs to be recharged.
Squirt your joints a little bit. Come on, pretend you got a can of
oil. Squirt your neighbor to him a little bit. Now let's lift up holy hands real quick. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see some people only got one, so let's give them another squirt on the other side. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see how that feels? Amen. When you get the flow to go in, your love starts to flow in. You see, because God is love. When they ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He says, hear, O Israel, Lord our God is one Lord. And you must love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is likened to that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if your oil and your arms are tied down and you're rusty, a child of God should not be rusty. I can remember Pastor Grant, when I first came to church, before I got the Holy Ghost, they says, let's all praise the Lord. Let everybody raise their hands. And I get my right here. I get my right here. That's where I could go. But one day, I got about right here, and I felt something go like this. I'm going, oh my, what is that? I pulled my hand back down. But then all of a sudden, I heard this small voice says, just. The Holy Ghost start flowing. Amen. All you're doing is recharging yourself. Amen. In the power of God. You're keeping those joints loose. Amen. You're worshiping God. You're praising God. Because he's giving you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. You want your heart to be pure. Amen. Because the love of God passeth all understanding. Do you love God? You love your neighbor as yourself? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? You might need another squirt of oil. You might need a little Holy Ghost oil. Amen. And what's the next person Dorothy meets? What kind of line?
a coward.
God has not given you the spirit of fear. So why would a lion be a coward? It's because he has no courage. Amen. You understand that when you follow the instructions of God, you will have courage. The Lord said to Joshua, "Has not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage?" Amen. You got to obey God's instruction. You're not some cowardly lion. You are supposed to be a bold lion. Amen. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We should be bold in our things and worship towards God. Amen. You should not be afraid of anything that comes against you. You're supposed to be a strong Christian. Amen. You're supposed to be mighty and powerful as a child of God. Amen. The early church counted worthy to be beaten and things for the kingdom of God. How bold are you? Do you go to the Walmart line and you hear the still small voice that says, "Hey, tell that person about me." And you go, "No, I don't think I want to. Better not." Pastor says, "I want everybody to teach a Bible study." You go, "Oh man, I don't think I can do that." Are you the cowardly lion? Or are you the bold lion? "I'll try, sir. I'll do it." Amen. We have got to follow the instructions. Amen. God wants us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Amen. You can't be afraid in these last days. This is why Paul tells you, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all you can do to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication and the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance for all saints and for me, that I may open my mouth to make boldly known the mystery of the gospel of God." You should not be afraid. Turn to somebody and say, "I ain't scared." That's the way we say it down south. I know up north you guys say, "I'm not afraid." See, up north you say, "I'm not afraid." But down south we say, "I ain't scared." Praise God. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that fly by day, nor the destruction, amen, the pestilence walk in darkness, nor the destruction that waste in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine own eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall the plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy way. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, upon the young lion and the dragon. You shall trample under feet." Amen. Because you've set your love upon him. You don't have to be afraid. What can man do to me? It's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. You've got to follow the instructions. If you follow this book, I promise you, you'll be okay. It doesn't tell you that things aren't going to come against you, but you'll be okay. I promise you, you will still be praising God when it's all over with. Amen. As long as you follow the instruction book, you will be okay. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections and instructions in righteousness. God wants you to do what is right. He wants you to be right. John says, beloved, he that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he's righteous. He says, in this is manifested the children of God and the children of the devil. He that doeth not righteousness is not of God, nor he that loveth not his brother. So it's not hard to determine who belongs to God and who belongs to the devil. But God didn't save you, call you to serve the enemy of your soul. He called you and I to serve him. Amen. And that starts with following the instructions. I promise you, say your marriage is a little shaky. If you follow the instructions, I promise you, your marriage will gel just the way it's supposed to be. If you think you got bad kids, teach them the instructions, and I promise you, they'll be the kids that God wants them to be. If you can't get along with your employer, your employer can't get along with you, follow the instructions. And I promise you, it'll make a change in the atmosphere where you are. If you're here tonight, and maybe your relationship is not where you feel it should be with God, I'm going to invite you to the altar. And make a commitment to God tonight. That God, I'm going to start following your instructions. I'm going to start being obedient. I'm going to start doing what your word tells me to do. And I promise you, you will make a difference in your life, in your family's life, and in the lives of everyone you come in contact with. Because these instructions, Jesus said, will never pass away. So these altars are open tonight. And I want to invite you to come and make a new commitment to God tonight. And to start afresh and anew and says, I'm going to follow the instructions that God has laid out for me. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, the instruction book says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, the instruction book says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find, and knock, and the door will be open to you. So let's start afresh tonight in our lives. Let's start afresh in our walk tonight. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, because he cared for you. And just start a good new and start afresh. And allow God to change us according to his word and according to his path. Amen.